Comedian, actor, television writer, and author Paul Reiser has spent the last 30-plus years acting in Oscar and Emmy Award-winning movies and TV shows. He was voted one of Comedy Central's top 100 comedians of all time. It was just announced there will be a reboot of his hit Mad About You with Helen Hunt that is slated for a limited event series premiering late this year. Reiser, along with Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin, will be in the second season of The Kominsky Method. And on April 9th, you can see him in FX's Fosse Verdon. In his spare time, he'll join me on stage tomorrow night, Thursday, for our Creative Life Conversation series at Page Hall at UAlbany. And then he'll be performing stand-up on Friday night at The Egg in Albany. We welcome Paul Reiser to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm exhausted. That was just so extensive.
There's a lot going on.
I thought you were going to go back to third grade plays that I was in. You got everything in there.
I didn't get Diner in.
Well, we got to space it out. Give him a moment. But yes, I'm looking forward to coming to town and doing our little thing tomorrow night, and then the show at the Egg Friday. I've never performed in an egg. I'm looking forward.
It is. I mean, it's really an egg. It's amazing, and I think you'll have a great time. The idea of you have never, from my understanding, you have never not done stand-up professionally, meaning that since you started, there's never been a time where you said, oh, I'm going to put that aside.
Well, a qualifier. I never meant to put it aside. I actually did take a break for what ended up being almost 20 years.
Really?
But yeah. Well, when Mad About You started, which was 92, and then actually 91 when I was working and developing it. Well, 92, really, I kind of put stand-up. I didn't make a decision to. I just got busy, and I didn't really have time to. And then things got busy, and I never really found the time to do it the way I wanted to do it, which was really, you know, jump in and really do it. I didn't want to just be casual about it. So it's true. I was never one of those guys that said, hey, I'm just going to do comedy until, like, land a TV show and then goodbye. No, comedy was, stand-up was always my first love. So it's kind of startling when I realized that it had been so long since I was actually out there on the road performing. And it's only been about 5 years ago since I got back. So it's always been my first love, and it's proving again to be just the most fun and the most gratifying thing for me. It's just there's nothing like a live audience. You know, it's very special.
Were you ever one of the comedians who would say, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to be on the road, but I'll go to the club tonight and try this out just so I don't lose?
Oh, always did that. Yeah. In the years that I wasn't going out at all, I didn't go down to the clubs. It just got busy and it didn't really make sense for me. It was like, well, I'm not going to work on material if I'm not going to be performing somewhere. But when I did decide to get back into it, that was exactly the path that I went back to, which is exactly the same path it was when I was 19 and I did it for the first time. You know, you just go down to the clubs. I mean, the difference now is I knew how to do it and the audiences knew me a bit, but it's still the same very low-tech thing of just take a piece of paper and a pencil, write something down, and try and make it funny.
Is the material different at all?
Exact same jokes I accidentally wrote twice. No, the material is all different, but I find that
I mean thematically, in the sense of you find yourself.
Yeah. Thematically, yeah, I kind of, you do what you do, you know, and I'm drawn to what I'm drawn to, and you know, a lot of it is relationship. And it's, you know, I mean, people in the broadest, least interesting category, people say observational. Well, everything's observational, you know, like I noticed it. But, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, Mad About You really grew out of my stand-up, you know, and it was really about relationships because at the time I had just gotten married and it was where my brain was. And that has stayed consistent. So the material has changed because now, 25 years later, marriage is different, you're different, you know, the body is different, your world is different, and your perspective is different. When you're 60, it's not the same ideas as when you're 25. You have a different look at the world, and a lot of it is better. You know, you have a lot more perspective and confidence and awareness when you've got some miles on the tires. So I still find the same things interesting and the same angles, but obviously your perspective changes with time.
Which obviously is one of the reasons to bring Mad About You back, so we can see what happened over that time.
Yeah, I just realized everything I just said was not funny, so nobody's going to hear this and say, I got to go see that guy at the Egg. That sounded so intellectual. That was wildly intellectual and articulate. Let's pay money to watch more. That's one of the dangers. You ask a comedian to start talking about comedy, it'll get very esoteric very quickly.
But by the way, you know, these days, if we can pay money to hear somebody speak intellectually, I'm in.
Fair enough. Fair
I'm
enough.
In.
Fair enough.
Let's go.
I promise you it will be intelligent conversation.
Mad About You.
Say? Yes, Mad About You. Yeah, you know, for years, we went off the air, you know, like 20 years ago this month, or May 1999. So we've been off the air 20 years. And in that time, and Helen Hunt and I were always, you know, we remained friends, and we would get together, and we would always joke about, wouldn't it be stupid to get back to, you know, like, to reboot it? Because we were so clear about never wanting to revisit, because we did everything we wanted to do. We really did. We really checked off every box, every episode, every issue, every piece, every, you know, you turned over every stone in a marriage that we could look at. And we even went out of our way in the finale. We jumped ahead into the future to show what became of this couple. So we would never be tempted. We would be blocked off from ever wanting to come back. And then because all these other shows were coming back, everybody started asking us. So we were joking. It's like, well, would we want to? And we thought, well, it would be fun. The idea of working together was fun. That's what we wanted to do. And that was the appeal. But we thought, but why? What story would we tell? And then the more we talked about it, we realized in many ways, ironically, we are now at a very similar point to where the show started. You know, the kickoff to the show was that moment a few months into marriage when all the celebration and everything is, you know, the newness wears off, and then you go, oh, it's just you and me. Holy moly, this is going to be interesting. There ain't nobody here. The doors are locked. It's you and me. Well, cut to 20, you know, then you get married and everything's good and you have kids, and then all your focus is on the kid. And then when your kids leave, which is my youngest son just left for college this year, which I was able to really draw from that. And I went, wow, I've heard about this empty nest thing. And it just sounds like some cute phrase, empty nest. It's like, oh, but what it means is the house is empty. And all that energy that you put into your kids and the focus and that you've been diverting from yourselves and your relationship, that's gone. So now it's you two again. And there's this real sense of, where were we 19 years ago? What were you saying in the late 1990s? What did you say? and in that way, we thought, oh, this is really a great place to delve into comedically. And it's much richer, too, because you're at a different point in your life. You know, we joked that the start off was the kickoff of this new reboot is we look at each other and like, and there's a lot of wear and tear, you know, and there's a lot of, we're older and a lot of dreams haven't come true and a lot of things have been great, but it's, you don't have the same idealism and romanticism that you do when you start off. So on one hand you can go, well, you know what, maybe we should just, why do we have to work so hard? Let's be done. 25 years, you know, we put in 25 years. That's a good stretch. We can walk away, heads held high. Nothing to be ashamed of. On the other hand, we're so close to death, why not just stick it out? You know what I mean? We got this far. Just sweat it out. And you know, that's the comedic version of it. It's kind of true. You go, well, when you're 26 and you go, okay, we really want to make a great relationship. Well, you're 62. Flip those numbers around. 62. I just turned 63. You go, all right, really? We're going to work on this? Because, you know, did you look at the calendar? We don't have that many days left, really. It doesn't look like I'm going to change that much. I don't imagine you're going to change that much. But, you know, so anyway, so that to me is still a really funny, rich, heartbreaking, fascinating world to jump into. And we thought, well, that's a fun place to write from, to write 12 episodes.
How much of the old crew will be with you?
Hopefully everybody. Hopefully, yeah. You know, we haven't even just begun. We haven't even sharpened pencils yet. We've done nothing. But, you know, hopefully we've already called John Pankow and Richard Kind and Ann Ramsey and We'll see, who's available and who's want to come back and play. Hopefully, we'll get everybody. The dog will have to replace. I don't believe.
He passed.
Never heard that he passed, but he would have to be 915
in dog years. Sure.
In dog years, yeah. Even in people years, I don't think he'd be with us.
You know, I just saw John last weekend in Kiss Me, Kate on Broadway.
Oh,
man, he looks great.
Yeah, he's great.
Just fantastic.
He was sort of the secret sauce in our show, and people would say, oh, it's really about Paul and Helen. And like, yeah, but without Johnny Panko, we would have gotten very tired of us very quick. And he was one of these guys, he can do anything. Just get him the ball, and he's gonna go with it, and he's going to score. So he's a delight. He's a great, funny guy.
How would you describe this point in your career? As I mentioned in the introduction, I mean, you're doing the...
Close to the end.
No, that's not true, though.
That's not
you're
true.
Busy. You're very busy. You're doing the Kaminsky method. You've got Fosse Verdon. You're doing Stranger Things. There's just a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. As you say it like that, it sounds better, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting... I'll tell you an odd thing that I can't quite figure out. But when the show Mad About You was over in 99, and then I was really content to just stay put, and I really was home, and we just had a new baby who's now in college, and I was really happy being home and not working that hard, and I was lucky enough to be able to do that. And I was writing, and I was doing stuff, but I was really kind of deliberately off the radar. And then, whatever, like 6 years ago, when I decided, just really arbitrarily, it's time to get back into stand-up, and, you know, I've been stalling, postponing it long enough. The minute I did that, and there was nothing big about it, it was literally me driving down to a club here and doing 10 minutes, 6 minutes, exactly at that same time, suddenly all these things started happening, and independently, but it was sort of like some cosmic thing, like by leaving the house, I made myself available again, and one thing after another, and they were, I was very lucky that these things came and crossed my path, but they were all, I was lucky enough to be able to choose and just do things that were fun. So I did 2 seasons of the show Married, which was really fun with great funny people, and Red Oaks on Amazon.
That's
and I got
great.
To do last year, I did a show, which is on Hulu still, called There's Johnny, which we only made 7 episodes, but that was a project I had long been wanting to make. I'm not in it, but I wrote it and produced it with my friend David Simon, and it's about the backstage at the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show in 1972. And it's a really great show, and I wish people would find, because it was not widely promoted. But so I got to really do things that I wanted to do, and then some things were of my own making, and some things I just walked into. The Duffer Brothers called me and said, we'd like you to be on season 2 of Stranger Things. We wrote this role with you in mind. And I thought, well, that's crazy. That makes no sense at all.
And you're a little evil, so that's...
Yeah, well, you say evil, but watch the whole season. Not
yeah,
really.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's your own suspicions. You're projecting.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't
that's
do nothing
true.
Wrong. You can't fault me.
Was it weird, but even on the other shows, like Red Oaks and other things, where you're a dad?
Well, no, because that's, that's very much my identity.
No, you're a dad. No,
I'm a
sure.
dad, and it makes sense, and it's the greatest role there is. I mean, it sounds like a corny thing, but it's like I love, any sentence that begins with dad, it's like, and there's always a little question mark. It's never dad. It's dad, dot, 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 question mark. And what follows is usually, not good. Dad, this seems to be broken. Dad, remember I said the thing I shouldn't do? I did it. It's that. So I love bringing, and I love bringing that to the show. What was a little strange is to suddenly be on a set, and not that I'm playing a dad, but that on the set, you're the old guy. So I'm sitting around now on Kaminsky Method, I'm tapping Michael Douglas for stories. I'm asking Alan Arkin all these questions about his movies that I've loved. And I'd be on a show and people were asking me, I go, whoa, 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 wait a second. Am I the old guy? What the hell? am I Pops Comedy? Hey, when you started, did they have microphones? Yes, we had. What's the matter with you? But yeah, that was kind of strange. And people would go, boy, I remember this movie. And I was like, I guess I'm older, because that was 35 years ago that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, it's really kind of a nice continuum, which is it's what life is. You're a kid, then you're a dad, then you're the old guy. And, I was the new guy in the business, and I'm still feeling, in many ways, I don't know if I feel like a kid, but, you know, when I get to work with people that I've long admired, that doesn't ever get old. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh. Alan Arkin, I've loved him since I'm 10.
Well, I was going to say that. I mean, that the people that you have been playing with here recently, of whether it be Michael Douglas, Alan Arkin, or even in Fosse Verdon of Michelle Williams and Sam Rockwell. I mean, these are some really incredible people.
Yeah, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda is the producing force behind Fosse Verdon, and his director, who directed Hamilton. So these guys, who I didn't grow up knowing, because they're younger than me, but they're you know, legends, and they're just making huge dents in the world. And, you know, the Duffer Brothers are 12 years old, but they're brilliant, you know. And there is this continuum. You know, they would ask me questions about aliens because they grew up really living and breathing aliens. And so whatever Jim Cameron stories I can muster, I will share. But, you know, it's a really wonderful thing. I mean, I look back when I was a kid, like my favorite actors were Jack Lemmon, Peter Falk, and Alan Arkin. And when I look at it, they're really similar in that they were all brilliantly funny, but really heart-wrenching, too. They were great dramatic actors, but could easily lean left and be in comedy. And Peter Falk, more than anybody, Peter Falk I just adored when I was a kid. And when I was in my, I don't know, late 20s, I had this moment of clarity when I said, I got to write a movie with Peter Falk and me. I don't know why, I think we'd be funny, and he should play my father. That's all I knew. And I kicked it around for 20 years, and then a couple of years, well, now it's 15 years ago, but when the Mad About You was over and I had this time on my hands, I said, well, now is the time to write it. And I wrote this movie, and I got it to Peter Falk, and to my great delight, he called me and says, well, this is fantastic, let's do this. And the next thing I know, I was off in upstate New York, up in your area, and not quite your area, but we were up in the Hudson Valley, and we were shooting this movie where Peter Falk was playing my father. And I will tell you, there wasn't a minute of any day that went by where I didn't just pinch myself. I go, I can't believe this has come true, and I get to play with this guy. And he wasn't doing me a favor. He was happy, you know, and he was thrilled, and he knew that the role was written for him, and he sunk his teeth into it. I think it was his last performance, and he was just brilliant. So, you know, I count my blessings, and I never am not appreciative of the level of people that I've gotten to work with.
That was The Thing About My Folks.
Yes, The Thing About My Folks, which is Peter Falk and Olympia Dukakis played my mother, and which was weird because Olympia Dukakis was in real life was married to Louis Zurch, who Louis Zurch played my father on Mad About You. So my mother was married to my fake father in real life. So that kind of put me in therapy or fake therapy. Television therapy.
Well, we'll continue our conversation tomorrow night.
I look forward, and then
Friday
night, for God's sake, there's still seats available.
And then people can expect just a great night of comedy, and you'll talk about everything.
It's going to be fun, and my buddy Vance Gilbert, who's a great singer, is going to open the show with a short set. It's going to be a great night. Come on down, and we will have a good time.
Excellent. It's theegg.org to find out about the show on Friday night. You can go to WAMC.org to find out more about our gig tomorrow night. Paul Reiser, a great pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks. See you then.
Again, Paul Reiser will join me on stage at Page Hall tomorrow night for our Creative Life Conversation Series at UAlbany, which is free and open to the public. Then he'll be performing stand-up Friday night at the Egg, theegg.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.